Previously on The Bear Cave.
Let go a massive intestinal wind, apparently with full intent.
Please note, this following podcast features bad language right from the fucking start.
And now, recorded live in Southampton, England, you're listening to The Bear Cave and other podcasts.
This is a diary of a nosy little shit.
This week on Goggle Fox, a staggering episode all about walking when drunk.
Fuck My Life, a podcast by Her Majesty the Queen.
Real audio wrestling, the best wrestling promotion that you've never seen.
This is Baz and Dave's hidden cinemagic.
Tune in next week for a much better episode. For now, courage.
Now, here's your host, Al Bear Galpin.
Hello and welcome to the Channel Hopping Multi-Podcast Experience. The show's an amalgamation of ideas from my podcasts, other people's podcasts, and completely made-up podcasts, all thrown together in one big melting pot for your oral delight. You're listening to episode 2 of The Bear Cave and other podcasts. Now, before we get any further, some apologies and corrections. In episode 1, I suggested Matt Lees was bottom of the Fat Check Quiz leaderboard, completely forgetting the shit show that was Tin and Duyeb, who's actually last with 4 out of 10, so apologies to Matt and Tin for that insult and reminding him on Twitter about how shit he was. Also, apologies for the radio silence since episode 1. I've been busy recording guest podcasters for future episodes, but also forgot to plan around a little trip away we had. Plus, I've also started a new venture. A few weeks back, I was approached by Get Vocal to bring the Dead Piet Society back from the dead to become a featured podcast in their new Tickle Me Tuesday lineup. So this past Tuesday, we did our first ever live interactive video podcast, and it was a lot of fun, despite some technical issues. Moving forward, I'm going to use audio from those shows on this podcast. So if you like what you hear and you want to hear more of it, then make sure you check out the show every Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. BST, that's 4 p.m. Eastern. I'll put the links in the show notes, or you could just head to getvocal.com, and that's vocal, V-O-K-L. Check out all the live podcasts they have over there. Right, back on topic. If you'd like to get involved with the show in any way, you can. Find us online at albear.uk/cave. You could email us, bearcave@albear.uk. Leave us a voicemail on anchor.fm/bearcave, or find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Twitch. It's albearuk on all of those. Now, on this week's show, we take a look at the week's weirdest news in the weird week that was with my co-hosts, Kitty Galpin and Ed Sharples. I talked to Damien St. John about his podcast, Wrestling with the Champ, and you can hear a clip from one of their shows. And Stacey Taylor's put to the test in the Fact Check Quiz.
Looking back at the oddest stories of the past 7 days, this is The Weird Week That Was.
The Weird Week That Was.
Now, before we get on to the stories that I've actually got for us to discuss, I want to give a little mini roundup of some other weird things that have happened this week. Apparently, a squirrel in Colorado tested positive for the bubonic plague. A British woman woke up from a night out with the initials of 7 men tattooed on her leg. An Australian number plate, X3222A, hit the headlines when people realised it says ass sex when you see it in a mirror. And Iceland have set up speakers which you can record your screams that you can record on their website. And an athlete who believed he'd beaten Usain Bolt's 200-metre world record before realising he'd only run 185 metres. which is a cracking little story. Basically, they did these athletics games where every athlete was in a different place. And the guy who's runner, his brother had put the starting blocks in the wrong place. So they were like, oh my God, he's run faster than he's ever run in his life.
Just to hijack this in a small way, you might have seen I commented on it, but one of my friends on a popular social media platform had put that he'd been on his treadmill and he'd gone for a run. And he'd said he'd done, I can't remember how many kilometres. Bear in mind, this guy's late 40s, early 50s, maybe. Not super fit or anything, but he put how many kilometres he'd done and how long he'd been running for. And I was like, Nick, and I've got to say his name. I was like,
sorry, there's lots of them.
I know you're doing a lot of exercise lately, but are you sure that you ran 6 consecutive 5-minute miles? And he was like, "Well, yeah, that's what my app said." I was like, "Oh, right, okay." And he didn't question it at all. It's like you're running a similar speed to Haile Gebrselassie, mate. I know a lot of people are getting fitter in lockdown, but I mean, Kitty's like, but I don't think you've quite got to the 6 consecutive 5-minute mile stage just yet.
I've only just cracked in under a 10-minute mile.
Yeah. Which is about the norm, I'd say. But yeah, it just made me chuckle. It wasn't questioned at
all. We'll get there. Maybe between us, we'll hit that mark. That's a challenge for the podcast to see if we can do that. two each.
Between you.
Yeah. I've started the couch to 5K as well. I'm on week 2. So I'm not as fit as Kitty is. She's doing really well. Completed it, mate, haven't you?
Completed it, mate.
Completed it. It's making me feel I should actually try and do something.
I was inspired the fact that my wife and my mum were both doing it.
And
both completed it. That I was like, oh, maybe once Hunter goes back to nursery, when the nursery's open again, I'll get 1 week of work without him in the house. And then second week, I'll start Couch to 5.
Said it out loud.
Yeah, and I said it out loud with witnesses. So I had to, stick with it. So I went out this morning.
Well, well done.
Thanks, man. So let's move on to our actual headlines for the week.
Sorry,
we're going to start with 5 headlines. We're going to instantly discard one of them based purely on the headline and then never mention it again before briefly discussing the other 4 and then declaring one of them our story of the week. If anyone's got any comments about the stories, let us know. We'll read them out as we go through. So are you ready for the headlines, guys?
Bring it.
Definitely.
Number 1, the man who sold fractional shares in himself. Number 2, cool. A John Wick joke got a coffee bean cocaine ring busted. Number 3, house with no indoor toilet and ceiling propped up with a cabinet. £50,000.
What?
Number 4, people think witches on TikTok have hexed the moon. And finally, low air pressure in wife's truck tyre leads man to 2 million lottery jackpot. So which of those stories are you going to want to kick off?
I know which one I want to bin off.
Go on, then.
Tell me it's the TikTok one.
No, it's the shares in himself.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we got conflicting views there. Ooh.
I will bow to Kitty.
Ah, yes.
We'll keep TikTok.
So we're going to get rid of the man who sold fractional shares. Okay, so that one's gone. If you think that's a mistake or you want to know what that is, then... keep listening later. I'll tell you where you can find the link to that story. But let's get on to the others. So we skipped the first one. Second one was a John Wick joke got a coffee bean cocaine ring busted.
Have to know more about this.
Now, this is a story from Cracked. It's the website that this one's on. It says, you may think that a drug cartel is all Uzi-wielding thugs and quietly menacing chemists, but there are a lot of different skill sets needed to bring your favourite narcotics from farm to nose, particularly guys who can think of clever yet inconspicuous tricks to sneak these illicit products through customs without anyone looking twice. Unfortunately, none of them are put to work in the shipping department. It says, during a routine customs inspection, the Italian money cops noticed a shady package being shipped from Colombia through Malpensa Airport in Milan. Their suspicions were rewarded when they discovered that the shipment of Colombia's number 2 export, coffee, was being used to smuggle its number 1, cocaine, with over 500 individual coffee beans, each having been stuffed with a few grams of marching powder. What made them suspect that the dodgy beans belonged to a master criminal? Well, it was because it said so right on the package. The shipment was addressed to a tobacco shop in Florence under the name of Santino D'Antonio. John Wick fans may remember him as the mobster villain from John Wick Chapter 2. It seemed that someone in the Colombian cartel figured there's not a cop in the world who would catch a reference from one of the biggest action crime franchises in the century. So they basically then used the beans as bait and they caught the contact, 50-year-old Italian man, who we're not yet sure whether he's a fictional character or not. The sting operation was called Café Scuretto, which means indecent coffee, a play on Café Correcto, which is the Italian practice of correcting your bland morning shot of espresso by spiking it with high-proof alcohol.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So, can you imagine the work that goes into that? You have to
individual beans.
Yeah, open individual coffee beans, stick in a bit of cocaine, and then tape it back up
together.
Like, I don't know.
Wood glue?
I don't know. I'm completely confused about how they do it. I mean, the report says tape it back, but surely that's not hardly that.
It can't be tape.
You can't tape individual beans, because as soon as you open a package, you're going to realize.
Do a kind of a jam donut style thing. Like inject
the cocaine into the bean.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, but isn't it weird? Surely, if you go to that length of trouble of the excruciating time it must have taken to then blow it all by sticking a joke name on the label is...
If any of the listeners have got an idea as to how you would successfully stuff a bean with cocaine...
Yeah, anyone...
We don't need to know, but we'd like to know.
Yeah.
And we're not fishing for ideas, and we're not doing it to...
We do not show
that you might be involved in such things. In
yeah.
We're not the FBI.
Yeah, no. If anyone's done it, you obviously need to tell the Colombians, because they got it wrong.
Fraser says it's not easy.
Thanks, Fraser. Spoken from experience there.
Yeah.
Right,
we got him, guys.
That's it. He's in Edinburgh. So there you go. Fraser in Edinburgh.
And what's the exact address, Fraser, by the way?
I'm sure Fraser, Edinburgh, that'll do.
There can only be one Fraser in Edinburgh.
Yeah. The only other one I know is in New Zealand, so...
Yeah.
So we'll move on to story number two. Hi, guys, by the way. Hi, Fraser in Edinburgh, and hi, Bobby in Huntington Beach. And to Don and everyone else watching as well, thank you for joining us on our debut episode. We're talking weird news and we're on story number two. House with no indoor toilet and ceiling propped up with a cabinet on sale for £450,000. This is in the Mirror. You think...
Or is it in London?
No.
No indoor toilet. So it's up...
Is it in the UK?
It's not in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Ah, right, okay.
Wrong hemisphere.
Oh,
it's down under, mate.
Right.
It's in Waterloo, Australia.
So, I didn't think the Aussies had outdoor toilets because of all the like spiders that hide in there.
And they're called Dunnies, anyway.
Dunnies. So it's got no indoor Dunny. It's listed as not for the faint-hearted. The property was built in the 1800s, boasts a spacious living room, kitchen and laundry room, making it the perfect family home, it says. It's a 120 square metre lot with a lot of potential if you can see past the overgrown garden scattered with rubbish, smoke-stained walls, damaged floorboards and no indoor toilet. The floor plan shows no evidence of an indoor shower or bath, and the only toilet on the property is a wooden outhouse covered in graffiti. The rundown Aussie Terrace, which is on the market for $800,000, would need a complete overhaul before it's even considered to be of habitable condition. Inside, there's lots of good things about it, although it's definitely in need of some modernisation. It's got high ceilings, fireplace, plenty of room for entertaining guests, it says. The kitchen's much smaller, definitely needs work done to it, and smoke-stained walls around the cooker. But the laundry room is another issue entirely. The room is being held up by an old cabinet. Yeah, in terms of the bedrooms, there are two spacious rooms upstairs, one on the ground floor to the front. But
how's the room being held up by a cabinet? Is the room being, or is just the ceiling being held?
That's the cabinet holding the ceiling.
So,
up.
So actually, I think it's two cabinets. It's sort of like a.
It's a sideboard, isn't it?
Sideboard that's on top of another mouldy sideboard.
Yeah, and it is indeed holding the ceiling up. So yeah, £450,000 for this house.
So like, it's £450,000. Like, are the houses in this street particularly? Is it a desirable area?
Yeah, apparently it says that these properties get a lot of attention because they're rare and there aren't many of them left. They're older houses, the high ceilings, big rooms, you know, as older houses tend to be. So they reckon if you're a builder, it would cost another £140,000 to do up. Or if you're not a builder, you probably spend more of another £250,000 doing it up. Okay. So clearly there must be interest. rather than just knocking it down and starting again.
Hmm.
So that's that one.
Well, that's a weird.
It is a weird one.
Right. Anyway,
next story.
Story number three.
The witches of TikTok who have hexed the moon. This was on the independent website Indie 100. It says, in case 2020 wasn't weird enough, so-called baby witches on TikTok have caused a huge stir online, leaving people convinced that they have managed to somehow hex the moon. You would think the moon, who minds her own business in the sky, would be left untouched by witch talk, but that has not been the case. Witch talk is a subculture of witches on a popular video sharing app, TikTok, and they've somehow found themselves at the center of an online discourse. Described witch has gone viral by warning the group, a group of baby witches who are inexperienced witches on TikTok have been going around casting evil spells on the moon. They've apparently also been casting spells on mythical fairy-like creatures from European folklore called the Fae. Twitter user called Jupiter explained that the planet Jupiter is a source of energy and fuel for spells. This hex is also supposedly affecting the gods of the moon and sun, Artemis and Apollo. The user goes on to say that having a bad vibes for the moon is like harming yourself or spiking your own water supply. Four amateur witches have been identified, but according to the Reddit user who discovered them, their identities are being kept secret to protect them from harassment. Allegedly, though, they are the same four who've been tried to hex the Fae. If by chance you're worried about the moon, have no fear. Elder witches have reassured us all that a big ball of cheese in the sky will not have felt a thing because it's far too powerful to fall victim to a curse.
That is just a really odd... I know all these stories are odd, but
did you ever?
I just want to say to Kitty right now, we could have been listening to Al talk about a man sharing fractional shares, selling fractional shares in himself. But instead, I got lost after sentence one of that story.
I also found it hard to follow. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Immediately it put me in mind of what's that film?
The Witches of Eastwick.
Not The Witches of Eastwick.
Well, it sounds similar, doesn't it?
The 90s one, where they're all at school with Neve Campbell and...
Oh, not The Craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Craft.
Not The Craft, The Craft.
No, The Craft.
The Craft.
The Craft.
With an A.
The Craft. It's Craft.
Not with an O-R.
Craft.
It's not The Croft.
See, this to our listeners overseas... This is the difference between someone who grew up in the South, Kitty, and someone from the North, who can't agree on how certain words are pronounced.
Katie and I are having real struggles with Harry. We're kind of like wondering what sort of weird accent he's going to end up with, because he can't decide whether he's getting in the bath or the bar.
Poor kid. What are you doing to him? What are you doing to the poor kid?
One of Katie's friends was like, why's Harry speak with a northern accent?
There was a video.
Because he was talking about something being comfy the other day.
Comfy.
Comfy chair.
Comfy chair.
Comfy chair.
His haircut's a little northern as well, isn't it? It's a bit mod.
I'd say it's more kind of just, it's a mullet, basically.
So it's an Aussie hairstyle.
Yeah.
Very southern.
Yeah.
So that's basically all there is to that story.
Okay.
So what's being done to protect the moon?
Nothing, because the elder witches say that the moon's big enough and hard enough to take care of itself, basically.
I mean, they are only baby witches.
And they are only baby witches.
Like something Jonathan Van Ness would say, little baby witches.
Maybe he will. Maybe he does. I don't know. Which reminds me that you might do well on next week's quiz, which I'll get to later. Anyway, final story for tonight, number four. Low air pressure in wife's truck tire leads man to $2 million lottery jackpot. This is a man from Michigan who said that a low tire pressure in his wife's truck turned out to be lucky when he stopped to get change for the air pump and won a $2 million lottery jackpot. 57-year-old man told officials he took his wife's truck inside to get change for the air pump. Stopped to put air in my wife's truck tire and I needed some change to the machine, the man said. I went in to get change and asked for a $10 Lucky Sevens ticket. The clerk handed me the $20 ticket by mistake. The man said a good to accept the incorrect ticket. He offered to change it for me, but someone told me to keep it. I'm sure glad I did, he said. Ticket turned out to be worth $2 million. Winner says he plans to put some of his winnings.
Oh, no. We've lost Al. Come back, Al. I can't cope on my own. So today I've mainly just kind of worked. It's been a bit dull, really. I'd give you a guide around my house, but it's a bit of a mess. Oh,
sorry,
God.
I got booted out. I don't know what happened. I'm back. I heard you though for a little while.
Don't you ever do that again?
Press the button and make you a presenter, but I'm not going to do that to you. So yeah, so a guy goes in to get some air for a tire, needs money, gets given the wrong lottery ticket, ends up winning $2 million. I'd say that's a pretty good day.
I wish you'd binned this story off now.
Yeah, it's kind of man buys lottery ticket
and
wins.
I hate stories like this. Like every single person that wins big on a scratchy is like, I wasn't even going to buy any scratchy. I just went in to get a Mars bar. Yeah,
it's the first one I've ever bought.
And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. You just want one person to say, thank God I won, because I'd spent my life savings. I'd been addicted to them. If I hadn't won on this, I'd have been destitute. But now it's always, oh, yes, this is the first one I ever bought.
Some old couple that's never played the lottery before just happened to play it. They're doing perfectly fine. They don't need it. And they're like, oh, we've won £67 million.
It's not going to change me.
Of course it's not.
Then why did you play?
Yeah, we should have been this one off. Massive
regret. This is the danger. Occasionally you get a story a little bit like this. Sounds good until you get to discussing it and then realise it's an unstarter, really, isn't it? So we've heard all four stories now, so it's time to pick our story of the week. To make it easier on ourselves, I think we can agree on which story to write off straight away. So lottery winner is gone. So we're down to three. We're down to the John Wick joke and the coffee bean cocaine ring. We're down to the expensive house where the ceiling propped up by a cabinet. And the witch is a TikTok.
There's a clear winner
to me.
What's it going
to
be then, guys? Go on, say it on three. Three.
Coffee beans.
Witch.
Brilliant. You both said different things, but it's the same story.
You said the same thing.
Excellent. Well, there we do it. That makes it official. The John Wick joke that got a coffee bean cocaine ring busted is our story of the week.
This is Real Audio Wrestling, the best wrestling promotion that you've never seen. Tonight's main event is the one we've all been waiting for. It's the Betamax Kid versus the asshole, Amos Banks.
Hello, my name is Damian St. John. I'm the creator of Wrestling with a Champ. Wrestling with a Champ is a scripted wrestling comedy in a podcast. Unlike, I think, anything out there, particularly certainly in the wrestling sphere, which is so big it's got its own category on iTunes, Spotify, things like that. But it is, rather than couple of blokes, two, three, four blokes talking about the wrestling of the week or retrospective wrestling from the 80s and 90s. It sort of spoofs all of that in a monthly show and pokes fun at wrestling because wrestling is essentially sports entertainment panto. So why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, it's quite different. So where did the idea of doing a scripted wrestling comedy come from?
So I started writing comedy in 2016, and the plan was to look at getting a TV pilot bought for millions of pounds and then move to Los Angeles by the time I was 40. That was the plan, and nobody was going to tell me otherwise. My first sort of scripted TV pilot called Apocalypse Wales ended up on the BAFTA Rowcliffe TV Forum comedy list in 2017. So essentially you go to the showcase and you get a round of applause at BAFTA and you get to meet some people and you get to see work performed on stage, and it's really nice and very warm and welcoming. And then essentially you're on your own again for your next script. So I did that for about 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I've got a radio background, 21 years in broadcasting, and made sort of podcasts along the way. But I'd never put the two together in terms of comedy and podcasting. And then when you try and get TV shows made, pilot shorts, you're sort of pushing them out there into competitions and you're paying for feedback and all of those things that I think are important, whether you eventually decide it's not right for you or you get some traction on it. And I sort of thought, I'm waiting for somebody to turn around and say, this is good enough to make. And I thought, well, let's keep going down that path. But also, I've got enough capability and technologies, you know, it's pretty, anyone can set up a podcast and get going. So why not start and write something and see what happens? And then you start telling yourself, you're not going to be able to find enough voices, or how is it going to sound competitive, or will people even like it? But the point is, if you want to write comedy and you want people to like your comedy, you should start making comedy. So with a love of wrestling in tow, I just decided to crack on and, you know, get together with my friend Ant McGinley, who I've known for a few years now, and he's been in radio as long as I have. And he's a sort of larger-than-life character, and I gave him a script and we went from there.
Lovely. So how long does it take to come up with an episode then? How long does it take from the process from writing it to recording it?
So we looked at, let's see, the first episode came out in May, June. We've got episodes 3 or 4 coming out this month. We're doing it monthly because some podcasts, so there was a bit of inspiration from the People Who Just Do Nothing podcast, the Corrupt FM on Audible. They would do 6 episodes and release them weekly, but they would probably have been recorded over a week or two and then spent a long time in post-production and then tweaked by lots of people and then signed off and then put out into the world. And I sort of thought, I had the impetus to just make comedy and start putting it out there. So we do episodes monthly, maybe a bonus episode along the way if there's a bit that doesn't fit with a story narrative, or we just think would be a really nice mini episode, like the Father's Day episode felt quite organic to put it out in and around Father's Day, to be able to use that topicality. But to answer your question, how long does it take to do an episode? It can take as little as a week to write, but you then will probably have a week to get people to voice it, maybe 2 weeks, and then you've got a week in post-production. So that month kind of gets up and eaten pretty quickly. But with, you know, so we sort of set out for 6 episodes. It might end up being 7 or 8 in a series, and then we'll stop and see where we are at the end of the year. But we already have an arc towards the end of the series. So the final episode or 2 episodes will kind of tie in some bits that we've breadcrumbed along the way. So that kind of helps your writing further down the line. It doesn't, so you're not always starting with a blank sheet of paper. Bits you might put in the first couple of episodes to maybe fill or just to spark another idea might end up being the linchpin for your episode 2 or 3 episodes down the line. So I suppose it can take a month to write and produce, and we try and work a month ahead.
And you say that you've also got an art band towards the end of the season, so have you got any other plans beyond that, things that you'd like to do?
So we set out for 6 episodes because that sort of seemed like the format. I know Steve Coogan's Alan Partridge podcast, I think that's like 18 episodes or something, and that would really be the dream. But also you need a writing team really to be able to churn something like that out. I think we'd like to get to the end of the series and then start pushing it as a package, because we started cold and then we picked up some traction and a few people like it and comment, and then you get a little bit of mini feedback, but you're sort of also developing along the way. So episode 2 will sound a bit better than 1, and 3 will be better than 2, and you keep going. So once we feel that we've got an entire series, we might look at pushing that out a little bit further and a little bit broader. But interestingly, I think because Ant's character, the Ginger Ninja, who I referred to in the podcast as the Champ, partly for speed reasons, but also you call somebody the Champ and he's essentially in this NAF amateur pub wrestling world, there's a bit of a joke there. There's a bit of room for for humour there. So if I kept calling him the Ginger Ninja or Ginge, I don't think that really sells the gag all the way through the podcast. But because he's this, you know, larger than life character in this amateur world, I think we might do a book. We might do an autobiography, a spoof autobiography. There's loads of books out there. There's one that I read years ago. Gary Shandling did a Larry Sanders, like, Confessions of a Late Night Talk Show Host, which is sitting in the house somewhere. And that was brilliant because Larry Sanders was the typical egotistical television presenter. And there might be some elements of that in there. But yeah, I mean, book publishing, a different podcast, different time. But it turns out, actually, you can publish a book pretty easily as well if you've got the time to write it. So yeah, maybe a book and then another series next year.
And then the last thing, I was just going to have a bit of a random question. I was going to ask if you could have any wrestler, past or present, feuding with the Ginger Ninja on the podcast, who would it be?
That's a good question. That's a great question. I mean, I'll answer it. I'd like to answer it in it again in a year because we're so early on with this project and this this character. I think the greatest wrestler of all time on the microphone has to be The Rock. So if it was we have a segment on the podcast called Trash Talk. If it was, a mic battle, then I'd like that. But in the ring, I'd like to stick him in with somebody like Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who, for those of you who don't know, was never really any good. He was one of Hulk Hogan's friends, one of Hogan's entourage, and he always just seemed to be there, and he always just seemed to pick up work. And I remember as a kid, he had a really cool nickname, you know, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I mean, not only does it bounce and scan really well, a barber is a great kind of gimmick, but I feel like he's one of those guys that could quite, with no disrespect to all the effort he's put in over the decades, quite easily turn up in the Pub Wrestling Federation and challenge Ginger to a winner takes all, loser leaves town sort of gimmicky match. Somebody of that kind of mid card level, or the Ultimate Warrior, because he was a terrible wrestler, and your mind doesn't let you believe that, and your heart doesn't let you believe that, because he was this energetic tornado that would run into the ring and then not do very much and then run straight back out of the ring and take the paycheck and go home. Maybe him.
You're wrestling with the champ.
Now I know you're off your rocker.
Champ, I'd love it if you could share with me your proudest moment in the Pub Wrestling Federation.
Oh, I'd love to help, but...
But?
I took over 300 chair shots in my career. My brain is like a peanut rattling around in a washing machine. My memory's shot. Pyong, pyong, pyong.
Oh. Well, how can I interview you if you don't remember anything?
You've got your work cut out there, lad.
Okay, well, let me try and jog your memory. You saved the PWF, it was then the PWE, from bankruptcy when you created the infamous mixed-gender Battle Royal Tournament.
I did. God, I'm good.
Let's take you back to 2003 for...
The Royal Fumble.
Now, the Royal Fumble made more money than any other event in PWF history at just shy of £900. Back then, the PWE was in deep trouble. Attendances were down, revenue was down, morale was down.
If you say so. I never had any morals.
It was the classic example of a wrestling organisation in crisis. Their bitter rivals, the Leisure Centre League, were riding high. It was do or die for a company that started life inside a tiny Blackpool seafront chip shop back in 1974.
I've got nothing.
All right, well, I mean, how about this? Hello, everyone. This is Chief Kegwin with a big hello to everyone here at O'Neill's in Colchester. Are you ready to wrestle? Oh, shit. I can't hear you. Well, hang on. Is there anyone there? Oh, for fuck's sake. Hold on to your spandex. Here comes your main event. It's the 2003. I don't know why I put the date in. Royal Fumble!
That rings a bell.
Let's get our first guest on. He was the owner of the PWF at the time. Please welcome to Wrestling with the Champ, the Welsh Werewolf. It's Howl.
All right, boys, how's it going?
Good, thanks, Howl, and thank you for joining us on Wrestling with the Champ.
Oh, my pleasure. I am getting paid for this, though, right?
Hey, if he's getting paid, so am I.
Right, nobody's getting paid. Not even I'm getting paid. It's a podcast. Everyone works for free on podcasts. Howl, tell me about the origins of the Royal Fumble.
In the shower room.
Not the boardroom.
God, no.
The boardroom's where all the decisions get signed off, but they're made in the shower room.
So you're both in the shower, then what?
Right, I was waiting for the feet to kick in so I could wash my back hair off, right? When this donut walks in and shouts, fumble! Well, I grabbed hold of my crown jewels quicker than you can say Llewellyn the librarian from Llanelli has licked my toads.
Actually, I think you'll find it's pronounced Llanelli.
And of course, Royal Fumble is a play on the Royal Rumble.
Huh? What's that?
Hang on. The Royal Rumble.
Huh?
The Royal Rumble.
Well, it can't be that famous. I've never heard of this.
Sounds like what happens when the Queen farts.
If anyone's interested about the podcast, where can they find you online?
Oh, a big if. But if you are interested in a scripted wrestling comedy in a podcast that has just got going and is unlike anything else you'll ever hear, if you like fighting with my family, either the documentary or the movie, and you like that Peter Crouch podcast in terms of rubbish sports stars talking about themselves, then you can come and join us online at champpod.com. There are social media links as well if you search for the Champ podcast, but a good place to get your episodes is champpod.com.
March 18th, 2014, Aberdeen, Washington. For Reginald Thompson, the day started just like any other, with coffee at Peggy's Cafe. But the day was to end in unspeakable tragedy. I'm Daniela Trent and this is the Aberdeen Slaughterhouse Mystery.
Now it's time for the Ministry of Swooping Fact Check Quiz. Each week our guest is given a series of 10 facts and we'll have to judge whether they are true or false. We then place them on the fact-checking leaderboard. Currently, the leaderboard is topped by Dr. Squee, who on his second go scored 8 out of 10. Then we have Jim Cliff from Fallacious Trump, Karen Robinson from Primary 2020, Jack and Adder from Totally Unprepared Politics, and Kitty Galpin from Being My Wife, all on 7 out of 10. Matt Lees from Legend My Spare Times on 6, and rounding out the list is comedian Tin and Duyeb with 4. So, Stacey, are you ready for this?
No, I'm really scared about this because I am a wildly gullible person to the point that the first time I saw an article from The Onion, I had to ask my husband whether it was a satire site or not because I was like, I don't know. It's right on the edge of being believable. So, yeah, I'm terrified of this. And I think if I score more than 2, I'll be quite happy.
Okay, well, there you go. That's the target.
Woo!
2. All right, here we go then. Number 1, the chocolate on chocolate digestives is on the top of the biscuit.
That's false.
It is false.
I want to say, yes. See, false. I know this because I had an argument with my husband about it because I was like, I feel like it should be the top because if you put the biscuit down for any reason, you wouldn't want to put it chocolate side down.
Yeah.
But he proved to me from their very own McVitie's website that that's actually the top.
Yeah.
The bottom, whichever way around it is. I don't know. Either way, I got the question right. I'm very happy.
1-1, 100% record. There we go.
Right, I'm quitting. Bye.
Number 2, dinosaurs lived on the other side of the galaxy.
Eh? What's that even mean? Let's say false, because I don't know.
That one's technically true. Basically, you know how we revolve around the sun? Well, the sun revolves around the centre of the galaxy every 200 million years ago.
Oh.
So 100 million years ago, which was the mid-Cretaceous period, the planet was on the opposite side of the galaxy.
Okay. I literally thought, now, here's my stupid, insane thought process on this. I literally thought you meant, like, dinosaurs existed, like, on an asteroid or something that pewed from the opposite side of the galaxy.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did.
That's how they became a thing.
They're actually aliens that we wiped out.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 3. It would take 12 minutes for us to realise if the sun exploded.
Oh, I feel like it'd be longer than that. Oh, God. I don't know. I'm just going to say false.
What is false? Ooh, it would actually take less, though. It would take 8 minutes 20.
Oh, Whoa, seriously?
That's how long the light takes to reach us from the sun.
Oh.
So there you go. Well, you've already got your two. Three questions in and you've already got your two.
Excellent.
You're on target. Number four. The painting American Gothic features a farmer and his wife. Do you know the one I mean?
American Gothic. The one with the pitchfork.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the question?
Yeah. Is the painting of him and his wife?
Yes. Is that true?
No, it's false. It's the farmer and his daughter.
Oh. God, she looks old. What a horrible thing to say. I don't judge women horrendously, except when they're in painting form, apparently.
Number five. There once was a headless chicken that lived for 18 months after being decapitated.
Do you know what? I'm going to say that's true, even though it sounds so totally fucking made up, because why not? The world is insane.
It is true. It was in 1945, a farmer in Colorado began decapitating the chickens when one of them continued to walk around. So what did they do? Obviously, they took it on tour, where it then died in 1947.
Oh, that just makes me think of that bit in the Sledgehammer video with the animated chickens and that stresses me out like no one's business. I hate it. Oh.
Number six, two 12-inch pizzas contain more pizza than one 18-inch pizza.
True.
No, that's false. Aww. One 18-inch has actually got more pizza to it.
I don't understand maths.
Me either. I don't understand that bit of math anyway. Number seven, tomato ketchup was once sold as medicine to cure diarrhoea, indigestion, jaundice and rheumatism.
Sure, why not?
It is true. In 1834, Dr. John Cook Bennett added tomatoes to ketchup, which was previously a concoction of fish or mushrooms. He claimed medicinal value due to the additional vitamins and antioxidants.
Do you know what? The only reason I said that was true is because I feel like a lot of things were originally invented as medicines. Yeah. And people were just like, actually, this has got no benefit whatsoever, but it tastes all right.
Number eight, the anus is the first part of the body to form in the womb.
Want that to be true, but I'm gonna say false because come on.
That apparently is true.
Oh no.
Apparently it's
fantastic.
True.
So you can toot. It's like the first thing you can do is toot.
Yeah, and then they keep tooting once they're born.
Don't stop tooting, that's what I say.
Number nine, man went to the moon before putting wheels on a suitcase.
Oh shit off. See, I don't know what to say about this either, because sometimes I hear about inventions that I think, yes, of course, that's common sense, and then it's like it was only invented 2 years ago. Yeah. But similarly, I feel like, actually, now that I think about it, I don't remember seeing so many arseholes with wheelie suitcases when I was a kid. So yeah, true, sure, why not?
It is true. A man called Bernard Sadow applied for a patent for a suitcase with wheels in 1970, 1 year after the moon landings. There you go, you're up to five. And your last one, the woman depicted in the Mona Lisa was called Lisa Gherardini.
Now, see, I feel like this could be a trick question, because this is either one of those ones that I should know, or it's something like she wasn't even called Lisa, so I'm going to say false.
It was true.
God damn it.
What's her name? Mona Lisa translates as My Lady Lisa, and it was because the painting was commissioned by her husband. And that's why it's called that.
Oh.
So there you go. You've ended up on five, so not bottom of the table.
Bad. That ain't bad.
Not bad at all. A solid 50-50.
A solid average.
Well, if you don't know facts and you're guessing, you expect to get, 50-50, wouldn't you, really? The luck of average, you would hope. So that's exactly what you've done. So, Stacey Taylor from Stacey's Pop Culture Parlour, you are second to bottom on the leaderboard.
Woo!
With 5 out of 10. Thank you very much.
Look, I will 100% take that. I've said in all of the football fantasy leagues that I'm in, as the only woman, I'm just happy not to finish last.
This week on Gogglebox, we listened to a riveting podcast about permanent mechanical fasteners, and there was a staggering episode all about walking when drunk.
The show is coming to a close. Our time channel hopping through podcasts is up for another week. If you've risen this far through the nonsense, then thank you very much. Please do hit that subscribe button and make sure you don't miss any future episodes. And if you have a minute, do give us a rating and a review on whichever podcast system you're listening to us on. If you particularly like The Weird Week That Was, you can find the Dead Piet Society live every Tuesday night on getvocal.com or seek out Dead Piet Sock on Facebook, Twitter or Periscope. Don't forget to check out our guest podcast, Wrestling with the Champ, and Stacey's podcast, Stacey's Pop Culture Parlour, on your podcast platform of choice. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all the social medias at owlbearuk, and you can send us any emails to bearcave@owlbear.uk. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
And Other Podcasts is written, produced and presented by Alan Galpin. Guests include Ed Sharples, Kitty Galpin, Stacey Taylor and Damian St. John. Additional performances by Darren Saunders and Matt Lees. Theme music is One Shot by Hook Sounds. News theme by Fabio Music. Other music from Adam Vitofsky and Anna Managuchi, used under Creative Commons license. Domo Arigato Mr. Obato.